Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God podcast, an in-depth study of the Word of God. The program's name is from Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Welcome back to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God Bible Study Podcast, where we take a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Word of God. We are currently in the book of John out of the New Testament. On last week, we looked at John chapter 6, verses 36 through 37, and based upon verse number 37, which says, "All those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." We spent the rest of that episode talking about the concept of predestination and God's elect, which is the concept or the idea that God, from the very foundations of the earth, has already chosen those who would hear the word of God, particularly the word of God about him sending God the Father, sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, and that God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised him from the dead because he was sinless, perfect. And the concept of predestination, which is biblical, and we spent most of that time looking at several verses that support that God, from the beginning of the foundations of this world, has chosen those who would hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, and would respond to that and would receive eternal salvation. And that's what we talked about last week, and we're going to pick up this week the following verse number 38 in John chapter 6. But before we get into that, as always, I'd like to remind you that you can hear past episodes and all future episodes on our website of Renew Your Mind Ministries. That's R-I-E-S, plural on ministries, .org. That's Renew Your Mind Ministries .org, or on any podcasting platform such as Spotify, Amazon Alexa, Apple, Google, iHeart. Pretty much anywhere you can hear a podcast, you should be able to find this podcast. That's Renew Your Mind with the Word of God Bible Study Podcast, and our two other podcasts. That's the God Revelation Podcast, which is where we take a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Revelation, and the Holy Spirit Podcast, where we're taking an in-depth look at the third person of the Holy Trinity, that is the person of the Holy Spirit. All those episodes, past and future, will be found on those platforms, that is our website, as well as on any podcasting platform. Also, you can find these episodes or past episodes and future episodes on our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/renewyourmindministriesinc. Again, that is facebook.com/renewyourmindministriesinc. I also want to take this opportunity to encourage you to share the program with others. If you feel that your soul is being fed by the Word of God, by the teaching of the Word of God, tell others about it. Unfortunately, as we're in these days where people are actually teaching the Word of God and not politics and world philosophies and other things. And we feel here that we are indeed teaching the Word of God, and you, if you feel the same way, tell others about the program. Share the program with others. Tell them about the website. Tell them about, they can find it on telling Amazon Alexa to play these various podcasts, or go to these various podcasts, download them where you can listen to them at your convenience while you're working out, while you're driving to work. Share it. we ought to be studying the Word of God, and this is a format in which to study the Word of God. In fact, God commands us in His Word to study His Word. The Creator of the universe, God Almighty, has left us with His Word. How powerful is that? And we take it for granted. And given an opportunity to study His Word in a format like this, we should take advantage of it and tell others about it. So I encourage you to do that, and may God bless you for doing so. All right, so before we get into today's program, as always, let's pray to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You for this opportunity to give You praise, give You honor, to worship You, to thank You just for being God. Thank You for Your power and Your might. Thank You for Your holiness. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your only begotten Son, Jesus. Thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for this opportunity to study Your word, Father. So in Your Son's mighty name, Jesus, we ask that You will open up our minds, our hearts, and our ears to better receive and understand Your word. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. All right, and as I alluded to earlier, we didn't get far in our last episode. I believe we stopped on. We started verse number 35 or 36 of the book of John, chapter 6. And then when we got to 37, I spent the rest of the program talking about predestination and God's elect. And if you missed that episode, I really, really encourage you to go back and listen to it. I think it was a powerful, powerful episode. I think it is sound and biblical doctrine and verses of predestination, a word that the Bible used, and God's elect. So I encourage you to indeed go back and listen to that. And what we're going to do today, we're going to look at go back and read verse 35, and going to read verse 45. And if we have enough time, we'll read beyond verse 45 and break it down. And depending on the time. And so let's put it back in some context, some background. Jesus has fed the multitudes, because the actual Bible verse says 5,000 men, but we know there were women there as well as children. So he fed the thousands of people with five loaves of bread and two fish. He's walked on the water. He's come on the other side, and the people that he's fed the prior day have now followed him to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. And he's telling them, instead of searching him out to continue to feed their belly, they should be searching him out as their Lord and Savior to have eternal life, where they would never spiritually thirst or be hungry anymore. That was not acceptable to them. And so Jesus confront them as he tell them the reason why they're following him. He's telling them the reason why they should. And so this is where we picked up. That's where we left. That's kind of the background up to these verses that we're talking about today. So to put it into some kind of context, and you can always go back and listen to the past episodes where we cover those verses. So we're going to go back to verse number 35 to keep it in context, read to verse round 45. And as we get to going into the individual verses, if we have some time left, we will go past verse 45. If not, we'll pick up wherever we left off on the next episode. So let's look at verse number 35 and read, and then come back and break it down. Verse number 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me would never go hungry, and whoever believes in me would never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe." Verse number 37. "All those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away." Verse number 38. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Verse number 39. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those who he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Verse 40. "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Verse 41. "At this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" Verse number 42. "They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'? Verse number 43. Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. Verse number 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. Verse number 45. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. All right, so let's go back. We're going to go back to verse number 35 and then start breaking. Well, let's start breaking down at verse number 38. Again, on the last episode, we covered verse 37, which says, all those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And the point of the last episode, all those the Father gives to me will come to me. That's on predestination, because the Father, as we talked about on the last episode in various many verses, has already decided who he's going to give to Jesus, meaning that those who are going to hear his word about his son being sent to die for their sins are going to hear and respond to that. That means they're going to believe it and confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But they have to hear the word. That's why it's very important to teach the word, because you just don't wake up saved. You just don't look up in the sky and be saved. A person that has been predestined or elected by God to be saved or have eternal life have to hear the word. They're going to hear the word. Just like all of us who claim to be saved, we were saved because we heard the word of God about how Jesus, how Father God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for our sin because of our rebellion and our sin nature from our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, Adam, sent him to be the perfect sacrifice, Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And that not only did he die for our sins, but Father God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised him from the dead because he was perfect. He was sinless. All of us who claim to be saved heard that message by the power of God, changed our heart from stone to flesh. And because of hearing that message, we were changed, and it allowed us to have faith and believe it and to confess that Jesus died for us and that Father God raised him from the dead. So in order to be saved, you still have to hear the message and word of God. And we talked about that. All right. So now let's move to verse number 38 in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 38. And if you don't have your Bible open, please open your Bible or your Bible app and read along and go along with me. Verse number 38, which reads, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Once again, in verse number 38, Jesus claimed that he has come down from heaven. Look at John. Go back to John chapter 6, verse 33, that Jesus indeed is, in fact, God incarnate, meaning God in flesh. He lived in heaven and he ascended back to heaven. Jesus is God in the flesh. Also in this verse, Jesus also makes an additional reference to his obedience to God the Father, going back to the Trinity. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's one God who manifests himself in three ways, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus is God, is the Son, and he talks, and he was sent by God the Father. That's what he's referencing in this verse. As part of the Trinity, Jesus Christ is God the Son. He's God the Son. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. So his will and the Father's will are always in alignment because they're one and the same. It's one God. Jesus also is pointing out that the ministry he has been given comes from God the Father and ought to be recognized as such. God the Father sent the Son, not the other way around. Moving on to verse number 39 out of John chapter 6. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he hath given me, but raise them up at the last day. Here again, we have a support for predestination, because if God the Father has already predestined those who is going to accept Jesus, meaning that he's given them to Jesus, then he's not going to lose them. Because God the Father and his ordained power has already ordained that by at some point in their life, they're going to hear the word of God and they're going to respond. That's why he's never going to lose them. That's why it says in that verse in Romans where it says nothing can separate us from his love, because his love is infallible. His will is infallible. He's already predestined that at some point in our lives that we're going to hear the magnificent word of God about how Jesus died for our sin and respond to it. As I said in the last program, God sending his only begotten son to be humiliated, beaten, and ultimately killed. He's not going to leave that to chances, hoping someone is going to accept that. He's already elected those who he has determined will accept that and confess that. Nothing, not because of anything of that person themselves, not because we're good people, not because we were just the right ones to pick, is because of his will. We can never claim that we were entitled to this election, that we did anything good for this election. And if anything, quite the contrary, that we should never have been selected. That's what have been anybody that was selected. All of us has fallen short of the glory and should not have been selected, but due to his mercy and his grace and his will that he did. And those of us who he has chosen, we should ought to thank God that he did. We not thank him. I praise him that he selected me, because he shouldn't have selected me because of my sin, because of my rebellion. But due to his mercy and his grace, he has. And I thank God and I praise him for it. And if you are a true believer, you should do it as well. Never believe that you, in and of yourself, because of your good deeds, your good person, however you want to look at it, was worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. You were not. I was not, and you were not. But by the mercy and grace of God and his holy will, he did it. He selected us, and we're so glad. And there's others out there to be selected. There's others out there to come to faith by hearing the word of God. That's why we have that great commission that we all should be telling others about Jesus, because we don't know. We don't know who that person is who needs to hear this word. We all need to hear it, to respond to it, that they may respond to it. I all need to hear. But we already know some are going to respond. That's been the history. Some don't. They hear it, don't respond, and there's others who have. And so we must be diligent in our duty and adhering to the command of our great God to preach Jesus, teach Jesus to all the world, because we don't know who that next brother or sister in the family who will hear it and ultimately come to salvation. Moving on to verse number, still looking at verse number 39. In verse number 37, Jesus told us that God the Father gives people to Christ for salvation, because he does. He selected us. So he gives us to his son Jesus for salvation, meaning that he died for us. He died for us, the elect, that all such people will be accepted by Jesus. Here Jesus used the same concept in verse number 39. Jesus used that same concept to claim that those who God has given to him will undoubtedly see eternal life, and we will, and we shall. The raise them up from the last day speaks of the resurrection of dead. Moving on to verse number 40 of John chapter 6 out of the New Testament. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them at the last day. Here in verse number 40, Jesus specified the necessity of belief for those who seek eternal life, belief in him. In addition, Jesus makes a clear statement on the doctrine of eternal security. That means those whom God has given to Jesus, he absolutely will save, and they will have eternal life. Again, those who he have predestined that would hear that the word of God, that Jesus died for their sins, are going to come to faith and will have eternal life. Those he saved absolutely remain saved. Again, I told you, I believe, and based upon that predestination that we talked about in more detail in the last episode, that once saved, always saved. So if you have it, you can't lose it. If you lose it, you never had it. Once a person is truly saved by Jesus, their salvation can never be lost. Now we see that the people began to grumble. Let's look at verse number 44 in John chapter 6. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. The people began to grumble because they weren't getting the material bread they were seeking. Because remember, these were the same group of people that was previously said, fed by Jesus by the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so this is the following day. They've tracked him down, and they want more bread. They want more fish. Because, again, during that time, there was no social program. There was no feeding programs. There were a lot of people that was going hungry. And so when you have this guy who's healing people, who's feeding people, they're following him. There was nowhere Jesus could go where he did not attract a multitude of people because of the things that he was doing. But they were seeking him out for the wrong motives. They were seeking him out because they wanted healing. They were seeking him out because they wanted to be their bellies to be fed. And they're grumbling when he started to tell them that's not what he came here. That's not what he came here to just strictly do. Their grumbling and their murmuring show their disapproval and rejection of Jesus. This is not a new activity for the people of Israel, because that's who's mostly he's teaching to, he's speaking to, his fellow Jews, who have a long history of grumbling when God does not follow their preferred plan. Look back in Exodus chapter 15 and Numbers chapter 14 when they were in the wilderness. There was nothing but grumbling, nothing but grumbling. This, of course, only goes to prove the point that Jesus made when the crowd arrive again in Capernaum. Their interest is not in truth, but in entertainment and handouts. Go back to John chapter 6 and 26. In other words, they weren't interested in seeking the truth from Jesus. They were seeking the entertainment by seeing people being healed and to get free food. That's what they were interested in. And he's confronting them about that. Moving on to verse number 42 in John chapter 6. They said, that's the crowd that's following Jesus, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Because Jesus is not feeding them now and entertaining them by healing people and doing these miracles, despite the signs and miracles that they have already seen and witnessed with their own eyes, the people began to dismiss him as just another common man by saying, "Don't we know this Jesus? And we know that's Joseph and Mary's son. We know you. You know, you ain't nobody." In other words, even though they've witnessed the miracles, the healings, they knew those people that was healed. They themselves had participated in the miracle the previous day of them being fed. They saw he only had 5 fish and 2 loaves. They didn't see him. You know, there were no grocery stores around. And he came there with this bag, multiple bags of food. Because think about it. If you're feeding maybe 10 to 15 and maybe more, 20,000 people, you would see him with all this food laying around to feed him. They witnessed the miracles. And yet when he's confronting them about why they are following him, they turn on him saying, you don't even know about it. You Joseph and Mary's son. How can you come down and say you from heaven? In other words, claiming that you're God. Unbelief questions everything. When man don't want to believe anything, when God has not changed their heart, no matter what you show them, no matter what you tell them, they're not going to believe. And we see right here in these verses a good example of that. Because again, these people were a part of one of his miracles. Just the other day, the previous day, he had fed all of them to their bellies, according to the verse, was full and that was left over. They witnessed that. They was a part of it. And I'm sure there were people in that crowd that also had been healed or had witnessed the healings. And yet, when he didn't want to continue to entertain them and feed them, they pretty much tell him, "You ain't nobody. We know who your mom and dad is. You ain't no God. That's man." But Jesus again responded to their grumbling. Let's look at verse number 43, chapter 6. "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. Verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." Jesus telling them to stop grumbling. This verse marks the third time where Jesus repeat the idea that those whom God sends to him would undoubtedly see eternal life. Once a person has come to faith in Jesus, Jesus will raise them, that person up to eternal life. And he's telling them, he knows who he's speaking to, because they go back and say, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." Because man in his flesh, an unconverted man, and when I say man, I'm talking about women too. Before God changes our heart from a heart of stone to flesh by hearing and receiving the word of God, wants nothing to do with God. And until that process happened by a unregenerative, an unconverted man, hears the word of God. And that's unless the Father draws him through that conversion, he's not going to come to Jesus. he's not going to come to Jesus. And that's what he's telling them. But those who do, he's telling them, you're going to have eternal life. Never will die. Like verse number 37, this text also touches on the question of predestination, as I just said. Only those drawn by God, the Father, can come to Christ. Going back to verse number 37, that's why it says, those who were given to Christ by the Father will be saved. And those are the ones who are going to be drawn. But we have to continue to teach the word of God because we don't know who these individuals are. As I said before, many of us, when we got saved, we weren't looking for God. We just happened to go to church that day or someone witnessed to us on the street or wherever it may be. And we heard the word of God and God changed our hearts and our spirit to better receive and confess Jesus. But we weren't looking for him. God said, you didn't seek me. I sought you out. And thank God that he did. Let's move on to verse number 45 of John chapter 6. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. This quotation here comes from Isaiah 53, verse 13. That's Isaiah 53, verse 13 out of the Old Testament. The word of God provides certain truths, and those who read them have an obligation to follow the truths wherever they lead. Those who reject God reject the truth, and that's what they were doing. They're rejecting the truth. Even though they've seen the miracles, they've heard Jesus, they rejected him. Jesus here makes the claim that those who truly follow the word of God will recognize his claims are true. And when he's saying they will all be taught by God, he's talking about those and everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. Heard the Father. By how? By hearing the word of God. And when they hear the word of God and Jesus and his sacrifice on that cross, giving his perfect godly blood for our sins, and when God's draw them to him or change their hearts, their spirit, the new spirit man, that's when they can believe, that's when they can confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. The crowd demanded here that they see something, an additional miracle, before they would accept the truth. Look back at John 6:30. Jesus instead routinely points out that one must be willing to learn the truth before they can see. They got to hear the word. Got to hear the word. Just got to look beyond the miracles and hear and receive the truth. But that only going to happen for those who have God has chosen to receive it by hearing the word of God. We're going to stop at verse number 45. We'll pick up verse number 46 in the next episode. Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for being our great God. Lord, you're awesome. You're great. Lord, you didn't have to choose us, but you did. Lord, you didn't have to do anything for us, to be frankly. But you've chose to send your only begotten son, Jesus, to make that sacrifice that we could never make, to perfectly fulfill the law, and to die on that cross for our sins, being perfect, righteous, just, that we may have forgiveness of our sins and have everlasting life with you. I thank you for that. I personally rejoice. I just thank you because I was so unworthy. We all were unworthy, but you chose to do it. Thank you for your will for doing it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, if you're listening to this episode and you have a tug in your heart that you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and confess him, now is the time. If you're listening and you just hear that tug on you, just feel that tug in you, that you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time to do it. Do not wait. Do not wait. Do not wait. Now is the perfect time. So I invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I am a sinner. I have rebelled against you. I have sinned in my life. But you have sent your only begotten Son to die for that sin. I accept that sacrifice that your Son Jesus paid on the cross for my sin. I confess Jesus. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to forgive my sins. I thank you, Father God, that you raised him from the dead because he was perfect and he was sinless. I confess you as Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer and you believe it in your heart, according to God's word, that you are saved. You are saved from his wrath and now a new creature that has eternal life, that will spend eternal life with God Almighty. We rejoice. You should rejoice and take God as his word that you're now a part of his godly eternal family. And that salvation, that eternal life, is not based upon a feeling. I cannot stress this enough. We get so carried away with feelings. Feelings do not save you. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sins and your belief in his gift of that sacrifice and your belief and confession of that, that's what saves you. He has made the sacrifice already. And if you don't feel anything, you can trust God and his word, because there's nothing in his word to say if you feel like you're saved. It says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, call on the name of Jesus that he died for your sins, you shall be saved. So believe and take God for his word. Don't get caught up on things you may see on TV or in church maybe. Read God's word for yourself and take him at his word. The heavens are rejoicing because of you. You're special to God. I'm rejoicing for you. And tell someone, being a Christian is not a secret society. Let someone know that you have accepted and confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We oftentimes tell people about everything else that's going on in our life, a good movie that we've seen, a good restaurant we've been to. All those things have their place, but that couldn't compare. That doesn't compare to receiving eternal life and knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we ought not to be ashamed of that because of the culture that we're living in now. We want to hide that. We should not hide that. Father God says, God says that if you are ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of him. You now belong to the creator of the universe, God Almighty. That's something to be proud about. Not that anything that you've done, because you couldn't earn it, you can't work it, work your way to salvation. None of us could. Only the confession of Jesus Christ, and you've done that, and so you take God his word and believe that you are. I encourage you to continue to study, read your Bible, listen to programs like this and study the word, and eventually pray to God about leading you to a church. Because God's word also said we should not forsake the gathering of the saints. We need to be around other believers, true believers, to encourage one another, to praise God together. That's a part of his plan as well, to support one another. I'm not saying run out and join a church, because you may join a cult. You may join something you may not need to join. That's why I say pray to God about it and look into it. But in the meantime, continue to read that word. Continue to listen to podcasts like this where you're studying the word. God's word is powerful. Stronger than any two-edged sword. Pray to God. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Talk to your Lord and Savior. read his word, and it would change your life. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a process, a sanctification process, where you renew your mind away from the things of the world, away from that old life. Even though it's your new creation in Christ Jesus, your mind has to be reprogrammed from the former life so you can start living the life that God would have for you. Meaning that even once you do that, I mean, you're never going to sin again. That's not biblical. We don't practice sin. But nowhere to say you're never going to sin again. As long as we are in this flesh, there's going to be a struggle between the flesh, the will of the flesh, and this new spirit. And sometime the flesh is going to win. But you know what God has said? If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all righteousness. He's thought of everything. We just have to read our word and believe him. Well, I thank you for your time. You pray for me and I pray for you, and I'll see you in the next episode. Amen. We pray that this Bible study has blessed you. If you have a prayer request, you can email it to renewyourmindm@gmail.com or mail it to P.O. Box 721143, Jackson, Mississippi 39272. Remember, you can hear current and past episodes at any time on our website of renewyourmindministries.org or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Audible, and Google Podcasts. We encourage you to tell others about the program and share our website of renewyourmindministries.org. Jesus says in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." By telling others about the program, you are doing your part to spread the gospel into all the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Until next time, this has been Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God.